Now, boys and girls, I hope you are listening. I hope parents, you are listening. You adults, I hope you're all listening. Let us not be distracted in any way. Let us not be looking at other things, but concentrate on the Word of God. It is of utmost importance that this few minutes that we have is concentrated and that we are not distracting anybody else either. It can easily happen. And so let us be mindful of these things, because we have a matter before us which is a matter of life and death. And so it's important for us to listen well without distraction. Friends, we want to think about the fact that the Lord Jesus here speaks about wars. The Lord Jesus speaks about wars, that wars are coming. God gives us in the Bible many promises. And there are things that Christians, these are the very things that Christians put their hope in and trust in. The promises of God. That's the thing that helps us to continue to look to Jesus Christ, to take steps in our lives to go forward. Are you like that? If you're not a Christian, what is it that gives you the hope and the desires? What is it that gives you the purpose of your life? There are promises and there are predictions of all kinds, including promises about the end times and things that will come about and will be fulfilled before the second coming of Jesus Christ. And this is what this passage, this chapter talks about. And there are disciples who wanted to know more about these things. And if you look at verse 3, they ask this question. They say, "Tell us, when shall these things be?" They say. "And what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world?" So the disciples of the Lord Jesus, they are interested to know about what will happen before Jesus Christ returns. And so they are asking these questions. And there are two or three questions here. They're wanting to know about the first. They ask this question, "Tell us, when shall these things be?" Well, what is that? It is the Lord Jesus just talked about the destruction of the temple. And by inference, he's speaking about the destruction of Jerusalem. And so they want to know, when will this happen? Well, we know when it happened. It was in AD 70, where Jerusalem was destroyed and the temple was destroyed. But then there are two more questions there. They say, "And what shall be the signs of thy coming?" That's another question. And then the other question, "And of the end of the world." So this time, now they're asking about the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, his final coming. And so they want to know about the end of the world, or literally the end of the age. Friends, when you read through this chapter, you will see that the Lord Jesus answers these questions, and as you read them carefully, you will see that he gives details, he gives promises. He promises them certain things. There are things, he says, that will happen and has to do with the destruction of Jerusalem, of course. But the majority of that, Jerusalem's destruction happened about 40 years after this. But the majority of the rest has to do with this second coming. And as he finishes in verses 29 through to 31, he discusses about his glorious appearing, his second coming from heaven. Now, our text is found in verses 6 through to 8. And Jesus speaks of the signs that belong to the end times and his coming. He mentions about wars. He mentions about rumors of wars. There will be, he says, actual wars, and there'll be many, many reports of these things too. People will be talking about it. What is happening? There'll be rumors that this thing might happen, that thing might happen. The reports will go out. There'll be nations, he says. There'll be people groups. There will be kingdoms who will fight against each other. And here we are brought to think about conflict. Wars has to do with conflicts. It has to do with national unrest. It has to do with homes and countries being destroyed, people losing their lives, losing their loved ones. It speaks about tragedies, the tragedies of war. Many of us, we haven't lived through it. We have very little understanding of it. Only those who have been in it, they understand something of what the Lord Jesus Christ is saying here. Right now, our thoughts are filled with the subject of war and the people fleeing from the troubles in Ukraine and the evil that is taking place. We receive reports, we receive these rumors, as it were, reports of the invasions and what's happening and all of these kinds of things and the cruelty of the Russians and all of these kinds of things is reported. We see pictures, images. And they can be so complicated. They can be terrifying. They can be heartbreaking. But friends, there are also wars taking place in other places as well. There's always been wars happening, but the media highlights certain ones. But if I only looked it up to see what other wars are taking place, and I saw a whole list of countries and nations for the past few years, there have been terrorist attacks after terrorist attacks, thousands upon thousands of people dying and having had to flee. Wars happening in Algeria, in Burkina Faso, in Cameroon, in Chad, in Cambodia, in Congo, in Iraq, in Libya, in Mali, in Mozambique, in Niger, in Nigeria, in Tanzania, in Tunisia. There are terrorist attacks taking place. Christians are and their churches are being decimated. There is civil war right now going on in Myanmar and in Syria and Libya. Many thousands of people are being affected all around the world. What do we see in these things? Sad things are happening. People are seeing more and more of the dreadful nature of war. And there is no doubt that we are witnessing the fulfillment of Jesus' prophecy that we are reading here in these verses. And there is nothing to say that these things won't develop into an international war. But I want you to think about these things and consider these things not from the view of politics or view of the ungodly media, but from the view of the Bible and what Jesus Christ says here. That's what I want you to notice. It's no point listening to the politicians. They don't have the answers. It's no point just simply reading books about these things. They will not produce answers or hope. But it's the words of Jesus Christ that's so important. What the Lord Jesus Christ says is always infallible, it's always true. And that's why then Christians, and even if you're not a Christian, it is better for you to search these things out in the Word of God. Because the Word of God comes with authority, it is true, you can trust it. The Lord is the one who has complete knowledge of every war. Every individual connected with it, every leader, he has complete knowledge of every conflict between sinful men and nations that will happen before his second coming again. So I want us to notice three things here this morning. First of all, I want us to notice that of Christ's prophecies of war, or he prophesies of war. Secondly, that Christ comforts the believers who experience wars. And thirdly, Christ is the end of all wars. So first of all, Christ prophesies of wars. And we see this in verses 6 onwards. The Lord Jesus says in verse 6, he says, "Ye shall hear of wars." That's what he prophesies. "And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars," he says. Here is a clear prediction. And you see, friends, the whole history of the world is dotted with wars after wars in different parts of the world. There is always these wars taking place somewhere in this world. there's always things happening. People coming against each other, somewhere in this world. And you see, this goes against the false idea, the fact that there are these wars happening all over the world and people seem to not to have control over these things. It goes against the false idea that man is becoming better, that we are becoming more sophisticated, that we are beginning to understand what man is like. We are evolving and becoming better. That goes against this. The very fact that we see more and more wars, we are becoming more sophisticated in the way we can kill each other. And Jesus Christ is saying that these things will increase. It will mark the last age of world history. But where do wars come from? And why do nations go at war with each other? Well, friends, only the Bible gives us the clear answer about these things. No politicians, no sort of war historians or socialists or sociologists will give you a clear answer. Only the Bible gives us a clear answer. And let me point out to two things. Where do they come from? First of all, wars start in the human heart. The origin of wars begins in the human heart. Not merely in situations, not merely things that are just working out and we think, well, this is why it happened. This is why it happened. No. The origin of it comes from the heart. And when Christ says that his people will hear of wars and rumors of wars and reports of these wars and battles, they come to our ears. When we hear the news, when the reporters are reporting these things from different countries, different people, when we hear that evil men are doing evil things to each other, the Lord says again and again, the reason is why do people do these bad things is because it's all proceeding out of their heart. Let me quote you the verses that I often quote. And it goes against the psychologists of this world who say that, well, no, it is your condition. It's your upbringing that causes all of these issues. That's not the origin of the problem. It says in Mark 7 and verses 21 to 23, for from within, the Lord Jesus says, from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. It says all these evil things come from within. That's what Jesus says. Now, either you have to put Jesus next to the psychologist of our day and you ask yourself, what's the problem? It's the problem, the reason my child does this thing. Is it because of these other things or is it a matter of the heart? When I see hatred, when I see people fighting outside, is it simply, do I believe what Jesus says or do I believe what the psychologist of this world would say? I would go with the Lord Jesus Christ. Furthermore, if you were to turn to the epistle of James, the book of James, you will see this, a reference made to wars in James chapter 4 and verse 1. I'll read it to you in James 4 and verse 1. From whence? That is, from where? What's the origin? From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lusts that war in your members? And so here is a question that is asked, and the answer is in it. It asked about the origin of wars and fightings and brawlings. And the clear answer is that it says, come they not hence, even of your lust that war in your members? So think about it, dear friends. There are three terms that are used here. James uses it in James chapter 4 and verse 1. He talks about lusts. James tells us about lusts. What is that? This means desires or longings that are evil or sinful. Those are the kind of desires. They're about corrupt desires, corrupt passions, like greed and jealousy. And it says, isn't that the thing that causes the wars to take place, causes the fightings? Then he says this. He says, come they not hence even of your lust that war in your members? What's the members? In your members, he says. Members. That's about the inward, fleshly, carnal feelings and parts of your soul where your lusts are working in. It is happening inside of you. It's working out. It's growing. And he says, that's where the wars are taking place. That's the origin. He says, even of your lust that war in your members. What is that? The wars. That's the conflict within these evil desires and the rage that is within man's being. And they register, you see, in our consciences as being wrong, as being evil. And when people are asked about their thoughts and about their feelings and these things that are happening, it's often the case, isn't it? People easily say, well, so-and-so is doing this thing wrong. And when you ask the question, well, do you think that behavior is right there? They say, no, that's wrong. But they don't see their own, the very thing that they do. And so when you ask the question, is this thing wrong? They say, yes, it is. It is not good. It is evil. But then what happens? These desires, these evil desires, these lusts, when they win in the inward battle, then the people give in to these things. They show themselves in outward wars and outward arguments. So it all starts in the heart of man, in the soul of people. There is the love of money. There is the love of gain. There's a desire in people to control other people, to take over other people and control others. The desire to revenge, the desire to hate, they all come from our hearts. And they have led to all kinds of wars in this world. And the fightings in the home, the fighting in the office, the fightings in the shop. And my friends, if you are not converted, if you are not a Christian, let me say to you, this is why you are at war with others. This is why you are not happy. And this is why you are at war with God. And this is why you neglect Him. This is why you are at war with His truth, with His law, with His commands, with His gospel. And what you are doing to yourself is that you are destroying yourself. And if you carry on in that way, you'll finally damn yourself in hell. So the wars start in the human heart. But secondly, the wars continue through all ages. The wars continue through all ages. You go back to Matthew 24 and verse 6. And you see that the Lord Jesus speaks of wars in plural. He's talking about not just one war, but more and more wars. It will be added more and more. Wars continue. He says, these things must come to pass. And then he says, these are the beginning of sorrows. What's he saying? He's saying that these things that I'm speaking to you about will continue throughout history. He's not saying that there hasn't been any wars before that time. No. But he's saying that these things will continue to increase. It's not going to decrease. There will be no wars that will end all wars. That was the First World War, wasn't it? That was, we were told, it's the war that ends all wars. Now, the historians would tell you that in the past 3,000 years of human history, the world has experienced only 268 years of peace. Many, many millions of lives have been destroyed and people killed in warfare. And the Lord Jesus is saying that the reason these things continue is because humanity becomes more corrupt. That's what the scripture says. That's what the Bible says. That's why the Bible speaks about these things very clearly. So if you go down further to to verses 37 and 38, you read these words of the Lord Jesus. But as the days of Noe, that is Noah, were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until that day that Noe entered into the ark, and so on. Here the Lord Jesus Christ is comparing between the days before his second coming and the days of Noah. And if you were to read Genesis chapter 6 for yourself, you'll see the connection that there was corruption, there was violence, there was atheism, there was disbelief in the true God, there was false religions, there was moral corruption and violence and sins of all sorts throughout the entire world. And so the Lord Jesus is saying that similarly, before his second coming, violence and wars and corruptions will increase throughout the world. And so yes, the situation, we pray that the situation in Ukraine will end, that the situation in other places will end, but there will be others that will rise. Wickedness will rise all over the world. This is not the end. So the Lord is saying that before his coming, these violent things take place. Just a couple of years ago, didn't we see lootings taking place? People marching and destroying buildings, and in the name of what? Black Lives Matter? In the name of what? Social justice? In the name of what? Environmental protests? Well, these things will continue. And people can change legislations, people can change this and that. But the Lord says these things will increase. These are showing the Christian that the Lord Jesus Christ is coming. He's coming. Make sure your mind is fixed on him. There are many people at this moment in time that are more concerned about these things, or the Antichrist and the sign of the beast and all of these kinds of things. What does the Bible tell you? Yes, we must have discernment over these things, but the Bible, the Christian, thinks more about Jesus Christ. It's the second coming of the Lord Jesus. The Word of God. The promises of the Lord. These are the things that will sustain you. Make sure you don't miss out with the things of God. So that's the first thing. Christ prophesies of wars. Second thing is this. Christ comforts the believers who experience these things, who experience wars. He comforts the believers. Again, look at verse 6. And now you see the Lord Jesus comforting, consoling those who he's addressing. He comforts those who will believe in him. And he says, yes, you may be in these wars. Yes, you may lose much by the hands of wicked men. Yes, you may hear rumors and reports of wars and atrocities, and you lose your homes and you lose all sorts of things. But he says this, see that ye be not troubled. See that ye be not troubled. Don't let your hearts be troubled, he says. Don't let these things trouble you. Then he adds something else to it. And he says, for all these things must come to pass, he says. They must come to pass. It's necessary for them to pass. These things have to be fulfilled. We can't bypass them. They are predicted and they will come to pass. And then he further adds, but the end is not yet. The Lord Jesus here is comforting, he's consoling those who believe him and who know him by these three statements. My friends, do you receive comfort from the Lord Jesus? We live in a world, people see these realities that's happening around them, but their heart fails them. They're filled with fear. My friends, the only solution to see things clearly as they are and to know where you're heading is to trust in Jesus Christ and believe in his gospel, to repent of sin and stop the war that you have with God first. before resolving the war in this world. And I speak to the young people here. And you think about this. While God is not the author of sin, and he's not the author of wars and the sins of men, yet God, not man, God, not the British or the American governments, God, not Putin or Zelensky, is in control of all that comes, including wars. And that settles my heart. I know that I don't know how things will work out, but I know the Lord will bring his truth out, and he will work out. He will keep his people. We have to trust in him. Just think about the first of these comforting statements. The Lord said, "See that ye be not troubled." It's a natural thing to be troubled. It's a normal thing to be troubled. And by implication, it means don't be frightened. It's the word actually that has to do with an outcry. When someone is startled and you shout out to be alarmed. And the Lord Jesus says, don't be alarmed. Yes, the threat and the reality of war is deeply disturbing to the mind. So what he says is comforting and is encouraging you and me and all those who trust him, that war does not mean that God is no longer in control of the world's affairs. He is in control. And in this situation, he says, don't put your trust in the EU. Don't put your trust in NATO. Don't put your trust in Boris Johnson and Joe Biden and all of these other leaders. They don't submit to the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord. They are not in control of the situation. Haven't we seen it? And so don't put your trust in kings, in princes, in chariots, in horses. But place your whole trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who is the Prince of Peace. Don't believe the lie that God has stepped back from his creation and left everything to the commands and the devices of men. Don't believe that he's no longer guiding, he's no longer leading, he's left everything unchecked. No, every one of these people will have to give an account of themselves to God. No one will be missing. No one will be able to bypass the court of God. They may bypass the courts of men, but there is a day that all the works of men will be revealed. There's a day that the Lord will be coming. Don't believe that the lie that the destiny of the world is in the hand of men. That is why the whole environmental propaganda that we are bombarded with and our children are brainwashed by and we are taxed over. So much of the price hikes is because of these things. They're a sham and a lie. Why is that? Because Jesus Christ says the world will not end because of some environmental thing. It will end because Jesus Christ will come. That's when it will end. So either Jesus is right or he is wrong. We can't have it both ways. Either the Bible is true or it is not true. Now, the fact that we know God is sovereign and that he's in control over all, it doesn't mean that people, and especially the Lord's people, do not face challenging times along the way. It doesn't mean that their life will be easy. It doesn't mean that they won't be affected by wars and situations of that nature. It doesn't mean that they won't experience unrest and hardships. But the Lord is saying, when it happens, don't be surprised. Don't think that it shouldn't happen to you. Don't think that it shouldn't happen to me. It's something that the Lord Jesus said would happen if you are a Christian. Look at verses 9 and 10. It speaks about persecutions. It speaks about arrests. They'll arrest you. It speaks about afflictions. It speaks about killing you, murdering you, and you'll be hated of all men. Don't be surprised by that. Don't let it trouble you. You say, God has said it. I'm experiencing it. It's not nice, but I know my life is in the Lord's hand. You look at verses 20, verses 29 and 30. It speaks about people fleeing from place to place. There'll be great tribulation to the end. The Christians experience these things. They have always done. These things will happen throughout the ages. And God will be bringing in his people. And in the midst of it, God will be saving people. Look at it. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. That's what's going to happen. In verse 11, it speaks about false teachers. He says, you should expect that. Don't be startled by it. Don't be fearful about these things, but I've said these things because these prophecies will be fulfilled. And so it is for you to realize that you can trust me and my words. So he says there's going to be false teachers, false prophets, false people claiming to know the truth. And they will seek to indoctrinate. They will use all kinds of things to deceive many people. There'll be false religions, false ideas. In verse 12, it speaks of iniquity. It speaks about great sins will be seen everywhere. They will abound everywhere. They'll be overflowing. And they'll be backsliding. The heart of even those who profess to be Christians, heart of churches, will stop loving the things of God and the things of the Lord Jesus Christ. There'll be compromises. There'll be apostasies within the professing church. So he says, don't let your heart be troubled. These things I am predicting, these things I am prophesying, they will come to pass. But be comforted by the fact that the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ will not be hindered. I'm not going to lose any of my people. I'm not going to have my church to be destroyed because I'm in control, the Lord says. The Lord Jesus is not going to be hindered. He's not sitting there worried like we are often worried. He will make the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, to continue to be preached everywhere and to the very end. Look at verse 14. It says, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations. And then shall the end come. You see, in the midst of all the people losing their minds, in the midst of all the people running around like mad, he says, this good news will go and people will be saved and my kingdom will grow and then the end will come. Do you see? It comforts, it settles my heart. I can trust him. I can believe him. And this is really the basis of our peace and rest, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died the death for our sins, and all who trust in him will be saved, and their life will be secure. Not that they won't lose their life in this world, but when they die, they go to be with Christ, which is far better. Our sin has been dealt with. I'm no longer at war with God. And I don't have to be then at war with anybody else. I can even love my enemies. I can even do that, which I couldn't do before. I have a band of friends and spiritual family members now. Because Jesus Christ gave his life for me. That's the underlying comfort in this prophecy. And so the Lord Jesus Christ is saying that nothing and no war, no persecutions will stop the good news of salvation reaching the hearts of sinners. The church will not stop being built. It will not cease to have a visible presence in this world despite all the oppositions. So my dear friends, if you're not converted, then God, by his grace, may he send you the gospel. And he's sending you the gospel this morning. And he's giving you opportunities and time that you would trust in him. But your personal time is limited. Today is the day of salvation. And let me finish with this. The third thing is this. Christ is the end of all wars. Christ is the end of all wars. The Lord says, and ye shall hear, verse 6, of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet, he says. The end is not yet. So clearly, Christ speaks of the end. And so at this stage, he's showing that there is an end. There is a final end. There is a consummation of everything. Remember, this had been the subject in one of the disciples' questions right at the beginning in verse 3. What shall be the sign of thy coming and the end of the world? So the end in view in this prediction is the termination of this age, this end of this world in which we are right now found. The Lord Jesus is coming, dear friends. And the end is brought about, brought together. In verse 12, you can note these words, and then shall the end come. So the gospel will go forth right to the end. There'll be somebody, somewhere, preaching the gospel. There'll be somebody, somewhere, we could say, giving a tract, having no open air meeting. Some child will be saved. Some adult will be saved. Some parents' prayers will be answered. So the gospel will go forth right to the end, and then the Lord will arrive. This is the consummation in Christ's prediction. And that this is all dominant throughout this chapter. The end will be very quick. It will be very swift, as it says in verse 27. For as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. It will surprise so many people. If you were to read verses 36 and 37, people will be shocked. But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. And then he goes on to speak about Noah's day and how people were surprised by this. There'll be a day that will be a day of separation. People will be separated from one another. The sheep from the goats, it says in verses 38 onwards. And so what is the Lord is saying to us? He's saying, you see these wars, you see the rumors of wars. Don't let your heart be troubled, but be ready. Trust in me, he says. Trust in me. May these things that you are hearing, instead of depressing you, make you run to the Savior, the Lord Jesus. He says, be ye also ready, in verse 44. Be ye also ready. Friends, the Lord Jesus Christ is called the Prince of Peace. You read in the scriptures of people who were at war with each other. When the Lord Jesus Christ met them, he brought peace to them because he dealt with their sin. He forgave them. And he forgives sinners today. His coming will be end of all wars. But his coming into our lives, the sinners' lives, ends our war with God and will end our peace with sin and with Satan too. It starts a new war against sin and against Satan and against the things of this world. So our Lord Jesus Christ prophesies of the wars, but he also comforts the believers who experience these wars. And the Lord Jesus Christ is the end of all wars. May God bless these few thoughts.